Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca Tagg, and I am excited, as always, especially since this is a bonus session. I'm calling it a bonus session because I already have the next couple podcast sessions recorded and ready to be released over the next couple months, and I had an idea this morning and thought I'd hit record and go with it. So there's no number, it's just a special episode. And it's the top five Business of Behavior podcast sessions for new BCBAs. This came up because, as most of us know, the exam results or certification exam results were released within the last week. And this is an exciting time for many people because when you log into your portal, you see that exciting message next to the date when you took the exam that says passed. I remember logging into my own portal and seeing that message and being really excited and nervous and relieved all at the same time. I completed my coursework 2 years before I took the exam because I was working in a school system and didn't really need the certification. I was looking for the knowledge and then decided that I wasn't happy in the school system, that it wasn't a great fit for me, and that if I was going to do private practice, I needed to be board certified. And so I felt some extra pressure and some extra concern that I didn't know the information as well. And I passed, and it was a really awesome feeling, but also kind of this feeling of now what? And I remember feeling the same way after successfully defending my dissertation. It was this big lead up, and then it was done, and it had occupied so much of my time doing revisions or studying or whatnot that I almost didn't know what to do with my time. And I wonder for BCBAs or new BCBAs particularly, I wanted to give you some ideas and also to give you a little bit of wisdom that passing the exam is the beginning. It's not the end. And it reminds me of that old song from the 90s or maybe the early 2000s about every new beginning is some other beginning's end. And it's really true, right? Because it's the end of one period, which is when you were an official student. And it's the beginning of another period where you're a board certified behavior analyst and you're still a student. It's just a different type of student, right? Maybe a less formal student. But those of us that are the best practitioners or the best people, I think, are always students. We never lose that excitement of learning and that zest for wanting to know more and that humility of knowing that there's still more to learn. We never know it all. And that's both a really exciting and maybe sometimes overwhelming feeling. So I wanted to share five podcast sessions that I've done that might be helpful as you move into this next new stage. So you'll want to listen to session 15 that's all about CAQH. CAQH will be an important thing for you to complete as it's kind of an online repository of all of your professional information. And so that needs to be completed before you can be paneled with insurances. For most BCBAs, you're working in an organization that takes insurance. And so that'll be a really important thing to do. So again, that's session 15 and that's CAQH. It's also important to check out session 29, which is imposter syndrome. And this can be prevalent really in new BCBAs, but I've been practicing 15 years and I still experience this myself. And so I hope that you'll check that one out and that you find that to be of help and comfort. And maybe now that you're board certified, you might be looking for a new job. And so I'd encourage you to check out the article review in session 46. That's how to spot ethical practices in an organization prior to employment. And again, that's an article review session. And I think that that's great because I love that they tack on at the end prior to employment, right? Because that's when we really want to know if an organization is ethical or not, or engaging in ethical behaviors. I want to know that before I join with that organization to save myself a lot of headache, heartache, and stomach ache. Now that you're a BCBA, you can benefit from Shannon Biaggi's top five OBM skills that BCBAs need to know. Maybe checking out her organization, CMO, Chief Motivating Officers, would be another great use of time. So again, that's session 37, the top five OBM skills that BCBAs need to know. That's one of the areas that I don't think a lot of people get support and training in while they are accruing hours and in graduate school is OBM. And that's also one of the areas, not necessarily OBM specifically, although that is a component of it, but all of the extra stuff that goes along with being a BCBA, the things like how to manage multiple schedules and join multiple treatment teams and interact with so many different people, from parents to RBTs to insurance or insurance people to even people online. So I think there's some really great skills in that session 37 that would be helpful. And then one that I think is also important would be session 35. It's another article review. And this one is about developing cultural awareness skills in BCBAs. This is one of the areas that I'm not sure gets enough or as much sort of airtime or screen time in BCBA training programs, because so much of the content is focused on the content from the task list. And while that is a lot of the nuts and bolts of the practice of behavior analysis, that applied piece, really engaging in socially significant behavior change processes has a cultural overlay, or maybe even multiple cultural overlays to it. And those cultural skills are, in my mind, part of those soft skills that are so important and really make or break a BCBA. When I think about practitioners I've worked with that haven't been as successful, it's very rarely their knowledge or lack of knowledge about the hard skills, I'm doing air quotes, right? But those skills that are on the task list, or most of the skills on the task list. But rather, they get stuck in those soft skills. So how to successfully interact with other people. And usually it's related to the science information that we're trying to share. But remember, content isn't everything. It's how are you sharing it? When are you sharing it? To whom are you sharing this information? And I think a strong understanding of the cultural practices of others and understanding our own culture is a hugely important part of being a successful BCBA. And again, that's session 35, developing cultural awareness skills in BCBAs, and it's an article review. I hope that these five sessions are helpful to you as a new BCBA, and maybe if you are a supervisor or a leader or a business owner, maybe reviewing these sessions will be helpful in connecting with your newly minted BCBAs, right? Meeting them where they're at. I know sometimes for me, having been certified for a while and practicing for a while, it's easy to forget what it's like to just start out. So it's been a long time since I completed my CAQH profile, and it's super important. And not that it's hard, but it surely is tedious. And so reminding people that they're not alone in that, and that that's something important for them to do. And remembering to talk about the cultural components and making sure that that our supervisees are able to select ethical organizations or organizations that are engaging in ethical practices is super important. And for those of you that did just pass the exam and you're thinking, oh gosh, well now Dr. Beck is giving me more stuff to do. Yes, there will always be more stuff to do. And I hope that you're able to find some time to really celebrate this achievement, really celebrate the work that has gone into what you've done, and plan for the future. It's not that now you've arrived and there's nothing left to do except practice. It's in practice there is ongoing learning and ongoing development. And just like we do with our other learners, right, we want to assess where we're at, intervene, and progress monitor. So what do you feel confident about? What are some areas where you feel pretty good? And then set some goals for the other areas. What did you not get much training in that now you can devote your time to the stuff you really want to learn and you're stoked about, or things that you've not been exposed to before? Maybe reach out to your mentor or your supervisor and say, gosh, what are my skills? Where are my growth edges? I want to be sure that I'm continuing on this path of learning, because you're already in that behavior pattern of ongoing growth, learning, reading, listening. These are all super important behaviors, and we want to keep them going even after passing the exam and while you're celebrating how far you've come. Sometimes the two feel like they might be in opposition, right? So engaging in self-care and celebrating how far we've come, but that doesn't mean that it does actually oppose ongoing learning. I am super stoked about where I'm at and how far I've come. And I'm also finishing up setting my goals for next year and the first quarter of next year specifically. So I'd really encourage continuing to set those goals and reaching out to your mentor to help you identify where those goals should be for you to be most helpful. And maybe even most important is that if you don't have a mentor, get one. Reach out and see who's doing what you're interested in, who's been around longer, from who can you soak up information, and then offer to do whatever they need to help learn from them. Remember, it's important that when you're a mentee, we have to be sure that you're helping the mentor, because it takes a lot of energy and resources to truly mentor somebody, and we want to be sure that you're getting that, and you have to give to get. So I hope that these five podcast sessions are helpful. I hope that the information shared is helpful. And as always, time is our most valuable resource. And I so appreciate those of you who are choosing consistently to spend your time with me here on the Business of Behavior podcast, or on the Facebook group, ABA Business Builders, or in emails and text messages, Facebook messages. I really appreciate all the engagement. And these are two portals or two formats where I've been working to move towards my value, which is helping provide information for the betterment of our field. Thanks so much, and have a great rest of your day.